Prayer as we open the Word of God in just a few moments. Your biggest decision as you begin 2020, do you want this year to be like last year? Or are you ready for God to do something new in our church? I am. I want this to be our church's best year ever. Amen. A new level of growth and a new level of health spiritually, so that we are a healthy, growing church, the kind of church that Jesus is pleased to dwell among. God is not done with us. I'm sure of it. And in the middle of our putting God first and taking distractions off the table, remember, opposition will come. The enemy just won't roll over. That's guaranteed. I've faced plenty of it in my decades of serving the Lord. But opportunity plus opposition equals the will of God. And when God's will is involved, he does what he promises, as he did to John the apostle. I have opened the door for you that no one can close. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you for truth. May it find that place in us that it needs to find, so that we become the kind of people that you are pleased to dwell among. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You should have gotten a worksheet when you came in. That will be of help to you and a blessing to you. I want to talk to you about 2020 vision for a few moments, because the number one thing that determines whether you're happy or unhappy over the next 10 years, whether you succeed or whether you fail in the next 10 years, the next decade, whether you grow or whether you stagnate in the next decade, how you look at things. 2020 vision. How many of you have had eye exams? Should have all had one. I don't know how you got through life without one, right? And the doctor basically puts you in a dark room and tests your vision from 20 feet away from the chart. 20 feet, 2020. And if you can read line number six, sixth line down across from 20 feet away, you're considered to have 20/20 vision, okay? About 75% of adults in our culture have 20/20 vision. That's pretty high level, that's pretty good. But you know, even with that, over the time and life and experiences, the vision can change and your prescription can change. So what do you wanna be, where do you wanna be on your journey over this decade, in the next 3 years? The next 5 years, the next 7 years, the conclusion of this decade. Now, some people have issues with their vision. Some have what they call strabismus. Their eyes don't align. One eye wants to look one direction, the other eye wants to look in the other direction, and they don't align and focus on the thing ahead of them. It becomes very dangerous when you're driving with that kind of a condition, right? Some have astigmatism, which is distorted vision, because your eye is not, your cornea is not perfectly round, okay? Some have presbyopia. That's not fun to have. All of a sudden, you start having trouble reading fine print. And when you're looking at God's word, it's very important to know the fine print. Can't skip it. Get you in a lot of trouble when you do that, right? Myopia. Well, you can't see beyond a certain point and everything gets blurry and only can see what's right in front of you. And yet God wants us to have long-range vision and to be able to see ahead of us, right? We need 20/20 vision, and the scripture helps us gain that and make sure that we have that in our lives. So it's all in perspective. It's all in how we determine our purpose and how we see it. Some people have cataracts and it blurs their vision, and they begin to have trouble seeing and clearly. Your perspective determines your place in history. I'm talking about everything, how you see God, how you see your life, how you see yourself, your finances. Everything you have in life has to do, or whatever you want to do in life has to do or be controlled by your perspective, how you see things. The Bible tells us there's a direct connection between seeing and believing. And the faith and perspective are very closely related. Scripture says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So you don't see it from a physical viewpoint. You're seeing it from a spiritual point of view. You've heard people say, well, there's more than one way to look at things. Well, that's true. There is. The way you choose to look at things determines a lot of other areas of your life. Are you looking at these from the natural or from the spiritual? There's more than one way to look at things. You're either looking at things with eyes of fear or looking with things through eyes of faith. And you want to see clearly when you have eyes of faith. That's your choice. I can't change that for you. God won't change that for you. It's your choice whether you're going to look at the next decade of your life through the eyes of fear and anxiety and worry and nervousness, whether you're going to look at it with faith and confidence, believing, trusting the God that's brought you to himself and taking risks that you would not normally take because your fears hold you back. I want to see clearly what God sees ahead of me. Amen? And the way you look at your family, the way you look at your faith, at your health, whether it's fear or faith, at your career, is it fear or faith? The future, is it fearful or full of faith? One of the best examples of this is in the passage we're going to look at in the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, fourth book written by Moses in the scripture. The backstory, Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They've been slaves for over 400 years, and now they're spending about 2 years crossing the desert to get to the Jordan and cross over into the promised land. And it shouldn't have taken them that long, but God wanted to test them related to his promises. So they get to the edge of the promised land, and it looks like they're ready to go in to the land that God's promised them. And Moses said, before we go, I'm going to send some spies into the land to check it out, see what it's like. So he selects 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. He sends them in. They go in there to examine everything. He gives them very specific instructions. Then they are to come back and make a report, the majority report and a minority report. 10 of the spies say, yeah, it's beautiful, but it's filled with enemies, and we can't do this. They're seeing through the eyes of fear, right? We can't go in. God's already done all these miracles for them in Egypt, and they've already forgotten it. That's how short their memories are spiritually. And they're fearful, and they say, we can't possess the land. Even though God's promised it to us, we can't do this. That's the majority report. Two of the spies, the minority report, come back and they say, sure, we can do it. They're looking at it through the eyes of faith. Their names are Caleb and Joshua. We'll never forget those two names. They're forever emblazoned in Scripture. But even though the other 10 spies are mentioned and they're named in Scripture, I bet you can't remember the name of one of them, the one with the majority report. No. Later, they're the only two who of the entire generation get to go into the promised land. And the people start complaining, and they see what they're here, they're saying about the promised land, and they get afraid, and they say, we can't do it. So God says, fine. This generation doesn't get to go into the promised land, and for the next 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness until all of them died. I don't want that to happen to anybody at Calvary Christian Center over the next decade. Amen? I want to possess the next decade by faith. I don't want you to get stuck in the wilderness for the rest of your lives. That's horrible. Some have been in the wilderness for months. Some are coming out of 2019, out of a wilderness. Listen, it's the way you see your future with either the eyes of faith or eyes of fear. That's going to determine whether you get to go in and possess all that God's planned for you in the next decade, or whether you miss it entirely. So he goes, Moses gave these men these instructions. He sent them out to explore the new land. Go northward through the Negev into the hill country and see what kind of land this is and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. So he gives them many questions. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there many trees? And then he says, enter the land boldly. That's the way I want you to enter this decade. Boldly, with faith and confidence. Enter the land boldly, and then bring back samples of the crops you see. What's he doing here? He's giving these leaders a vision trip. He says, I'm going to send you on a fact-finding mission, and I want you to go check out and see everything out there. And I want you to sample it, and I want you to taste it, and I want you to bring some of it back. This is a vision trip. They're doing their due diligence before they go in to take over the promised land. And if you're a leader, let me give you a little leadership tip. Before any people can succeed with a goal, they have to see the goal. Have to see it. If you can't see it in your life, you can't succeed in it in your life. If you can't see yourself healthy, you're never going to get healthy. Right? If you can't see yourself prospering, you will never prosper. If you can't see yourself being used by God for His glory, you're never going to be used by God to the full capacity. If you can't see yourself finishing college or starting a career, whatever the dream is, if you can't see yourself in it, you'll not succeed in it. How do you see yourself this year and over the next 3, 5, and 7, right on through the end of the decade? Whether you're leading a business or a ministry, you have to help your people see it first. That's what I'm trying to do as we enter 2020, trying to help you see what we can do this next year. Over the next few weeks, we want to talk about a little bit about that. See what we could do. The 21-day fast will enable us to have our spiritual eyes opened again and see more clearly what God has for us. You've got to imagine it, visualize it, and even taste it. He says, bring some fruit back so everybody, they can taste and see what it's like, what success is like, what fulfillment looks like. And here's what happened. So they spied out all the land, all the way to the wilderness, up to Hebron. There they saw the Ammonites, the Shishites, and the Talamites, all the families descended from Anak. And these aren't parasites. These are all different kinds of tribes. And it says, when they came to Eshcol, they cut down the clusters of grapes so large it took two of them to carry it back on a pole. And they also took samples of the pomegranates and figs. Listen, if you've been to Israel, you have never seen fruit as large and as beautiful and as tasteful as you have tasted in the land of Israel. It's amazing. This is really a bountiful country. It's full of gigantic fruit. It's like they've been feeding it Miracle-Gro all year long. I mean, it really is, in the phrase, a land of milk and honey. The plants are ginormous. So after exploring the land for 40 days, the men, these were the spies, returned to Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel waiting at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. So all of that sounds really positive and really good. Great, great prosperity, a great amount of soil and prosperous soil, great fruit, bountiful. But 10 of the spies saw the land with the eyes of fear, and only 2 saw it with the eyes of faith. So the 10 give a negative report. In the negative report, the people decided, we can't go into the promised land. We give up. We're afraid. And they died in the desert. I don't want anybody to die in the desert. I want you to flourish. God wants you to flourish. So we're going to look at a few things today about our future. And a lot of our future will be determined either by we have eyes of fear or eyes of faith. Then we're going to look at how do we fill our eyes with faith so we can begin the process of moving into 2020 with all God has for us, God's promises. First, I get stressed by conflicting information. You don't want this to start happening as a carryover. I'm leaving the past behind. That's what God tells us to do, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't bring the conflicting information into 2020. Throughout your life, you're going to hear good news and bad news, and what you focus on will determine what you do with your life. Change the way you see, change your vision, do whatever you need to do with adjustments in lenses or however you need to get it fixed. But get to see clearly. Amen? You can focus on the negative or you can focus on the positive. And if you don't look with eyes of faith, you're going to get stressed every time you hear negativity. And you will hear negativity. 1 minute you check the markets and it says the stocks are going up. The next minute the opposition party says the economy isn't doing all that great. So what are you going to look at? Right? Verse 27. This was their report to Moses. We arrived in the land that you sent us to see. We arrived in the land that you sent us to do what? To see. What you see is what you get, remember? And it's indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. And here's some of the fruit as proof. But the people living there are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified and very large. We also saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. Wow. Who are the Anakin? The Anakin are from the tribe of Skywalker, and the force is strong with them. Well, sorry, that's the rise of Skywalker. I'm sorry. The Anakin actually were very large people. They were up to 7 feet tall and higher. They were 250 pounders. And for small Middle Easterners, these guys are giants, right? And notice that it's a magnificent country, but the people living there are powerful. See the conflicting report. Good news, but, and we do that a lot, don't we? The good news is, and the bad news. I've got good news and I've got bad news. And here we go with that. What do you want to hear first? Good news, but, right? The biggest problem that's going to keep us from experiencing God in the next decade is the but. Everybody has a but. I could do this, but. I know God wants me to do this, but. And I can always see your but I can't see my own but. It's those buts that keep you from becoming all God wants you to be. But I can't do it. If you're going to let God use you and have 20/20 vision, you got to let go of the big excuses and the big problems and the reasons why I could never do that. We get stressed by conflicting information. It's a beautiful place, but there's some enemies in there. Second, I develop a scarcity mentality. I not only get stressed more when I'm looking through the eyes of fear, but I then develop a scarcity mentality. What's a scarcity mentality? A lot of people have that in our community, a scarcity mentality. Well, we can't. We're just Yuba City. We can't. We can. I said we can. If God gives us the right kind of leadership in the community, we can do anything God wills us to do. You know, there's this idea, there's no real room for us, you know. There's not going to be enough for everybody, so I better hoard the little that I have. And I can't give all of that away. I shouldn't expand. I shouldn't take any risk because there's scarcity. Kurt Howard covered a lot of that yesterday in our business breakthrough meeting. It's excellent material. You should have been there. We didn't record it, so you lost. But anyway, it was great stuff. And this is what happened to these folk, okay? They said, there's no room for us there. There's not enough space in the land for us. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So this is supposed to be our promise, but it's filled with people. There's too many people already. These people are enemies, and they don't want us moving in. There's no room for. Why did God bring us here? There just isn't enough for everybody. When you see with the eyes of fear, you develop a scarcity mentality, and you start saying, all the good jobs are already taken. I can't find anything places to work here. And by the way, there's really no hope left for California. You start saying, I can't do anything. Those are the eyes of fear. You've got problems with your vision, a scarcity mentality. I'm going to hold on to what little I've got. I'm not going to take any risks. Dangerous place to be in your sight, right? 20/20 vision is what's needed spiritually. Third, I fulfill my own self-defeating prophecies. And what do I mean by that? The person who says we can do it and the person who says we can't do it are both right. You're going to end up fulfilling what your attitude is. Those who are going to compete for the gold in the next Olympics are already in training. I can guarantee you not one of them is saying, I can't do this. You don't ever win gold going into competition thinking, I can't win. You go into the event thinking, I can win. And if you tell yourself in advance, I can't do this, this will not happen in my life. I can't get in shape. I can't get out of debt. I could not. Whatever it is, you're right. Okay, you're right. You're going to fulfill your own prophecy. That's called seeing with the eyes of fear. You've got blockages. You've got stuff that's impeding your vision. That's called eyes of fear, developing a scarcity mentality. and fulfilling your own self-defeating prophecy. There were only two of the 12 spies who go in to spy out the land who said, we can. They're the only two that get into the promised land 4 decades later. God let Joshua and Caleb enter the land. Everybody else said, we can't. And God said, you're right, and you won't. You're stuck in the wilderness for the rest of your lives. Because of your unbelief, you don't get to go into the promised land. I believe in a God who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. But the men who have gone up with Caleb said, we can't. There's that negative. Attack those people. They are stronger than we are. We can't take any risks. You're going to fulfill your own self-defeating prophecy, and you'll miss the blessing of God's timing in your life. And if that wasn't bad enough, when I look at my future with eyes of fear, then number four, I infect others with my negativity. It spreads. I don't just keep it to myself. When you're negative, when you're fearful, when you're worried, sorry, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody else you love as well. Negativity is a contagious disease. Negativity is a contagious disease. Did you hear that? You can watch it happening across the country when people just parrot and repeat the stuff that certain people in their perspectives begin to throw out and vomit out on the public, and everybody else says, yeah, that's what, yeah. They spread a bad report about the land they explore. And pretty soon, the whole nation is joining them. The whole nation now is fearful. The whole nation, the attitude's been passed on. It became contagious. It damaged all of them. Number five, I see myself as inadequate for my challenges. That's a sad thing that happens. People who have the ability to do something to make a difference. We have the ability to make a difference in our community and world. Amen? Sometimes get stymied and stopped and barricaded by their own negative attitudes. We see ourselves as inadequate for the challenge. The land we explored devours those living in it. Really? Really? Isn't that a little bit of an exaggeration? Just eats them up, devours them. All the people we saw there are of great size. Really? Everybody? They're all giants? It's like everybody's doing it. No, not really. All the people we saw are of great size. There are giants there. You know what happens when you worry about something? It gets bigger. You notice that? The more you think about it, the bigger it gets in your head, the bigger it becomes looming in front of you. And that's, again, distorting your ability to see. You become very myopic. You only see this. You don't see the long-range vision. And pretty soon you're facing a giant problem simply because you willed it and you worried it into a giant. Somebody ought to be shouting amen. The land devours the people. Everybody's huge. We saw giants there. We seemed like grasshoppers. We're insects for them to step on in our own eyes. You might want to circle that, in our own eyes. Be careful about your vision. Have you had it checked lately spiritually? It's like you go to the ophthalmologist or optometrist, get your eyes checked. Maybe you need to get your spiritual vision checked. It's perspective. They're seeing with the eyes of fear, of negativity. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. That's a classic case of negativity. Eyes of fear caused me to see myself as inadequate. I couldn't be a godly man or a godly husband with my track record. I couldn't make it in that kind of a business because I'm just kind of not cut out for that. I could never succeed at, and fill in the blank. Notice the words, the land we explored devours. The word in the Hebrew means to eat up. What they're saying is these people are going to eat our lunch. They're like cannibals. All the people we saw there of great size. Then it says, we saw giants. The Hebrew there literally means bullies, tyrants. Imagine NFL linebackers in life coming at you. Giants, right? 6'5", 250 or 60 pounds, and they're coming at you. I mean, these guys can run track. They're all muscle. And then it says, we seem like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we look the same to them. How do you know what you look like to them? You don't. And here's a fact of human nature. We tend to project our fears onto other people. So if you think you're inadequate, you think everybody else thinks you're inadequate. If you think you're unattractive, you think everybody else thinks you're unattractive. And they don't think that at all. How do you know what they're thinking? The fact is, you don't know what they're thinking. And what you're doing is you're prophesying yourself into a corner and into a hole because you're not seeing with spiritual vision. They don't think that way, but it's your eyes of fear that cause you to misread what other people think. And you've got to get clarity of vision as to who you are. Who are you in Christ? You are a chosen generation. God's own special people. Amen? God's called you out of darkness. Number six, I make myself miserable. If I don't look at my life and my future with eyes of faith, believing in the God that's called me and whom I serve, I'll make myself miserable. Nothing's more miserable than to be around somebody who's scared, negative, against everything. Things not going to happen. Do you want to really hang around people like that? That's not how we're going to build a church. We're going to build a church on people who believe in the God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Then all the people began weeping aloud. Now watch how this spreads. And cried all night. And they grumbled and complained with a great chorus against their leaders. So when people are afraid, then they start targeting. Who can we blame? It's the leader. Let's get him. Complained against their own leaders, Moses and Aaron. We wish we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Be careful, because God's going to give you what you're asking for, right? And what happened is when I get negative, I throw a pity party. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. They're all better off without me. Right. Some of you are having a pity party right now. You've come out of 2019 with one of those. And there are three parts to a pity party, and they're all in that verse. Crying, complaining, and second-guessing. That's your pity party. You invite as many as you want. That's all you're going to do is cry and complain and second-guess. Now you can put that on your note sheet, right? And when you live with eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith, it says, they cried all night. Go around moping and moaning. Then they grumble to complain in a great chorus. Oh, they're all lifting their voices of complaint. It's amazing how fears cause us to complain about everybody else. Then we second guess. We wish we would have died in Egypt or right out here in the wilderness. You know, some people would rather die in the wilderness than face their fears. That's not very smart. And as a pastor, your pastor who loves you intensely, I'm going to force you to face your fears. I'm going to preach you good news. I'm going to preach you the gospel. I'm going to preach you the positive intentions of God toward your life. I'm going to force you to have to face the fact that God is for you and not against you. Amen? Because that's the way you overcome your fears, by facing them. And the result of fear in your life is crying and complaining and second-guessing, and you get stuck and you miss the promised land God has for you. What's the antidote? The antidote is to learn to look with faith. I need my vision cleared. Amen? Clear. Need to learn to look at everything through eyes of faith. I believe God. I believe him. Reinhard Bonnke's memorial was yesterday, and he lived 79 years, and he led 79 million people documented to Jesus. 79 million. You know what his motto was? All Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. And he kept going and going and going and started out with a tent that seated about 800 people. And by the time he was done, that one tent he had built seated and it took, I don't know how long to build this thing, over 300,000 people. And that didn't get big enough. So they had to put the tent away, and they just had open-air meetings after that where you could look to the horizon and still not see the end of the crowd. That's how many people were coming, standing, and listening to the gospel because he preached them good news in a culture that had nothing but negativity around them. And saw 79 million people come to know the Lord. My goodness, can you imagine the entrance he had when he walked through the gates of heaven? My word, right? So those are the kinds of things that we can do once we begin to see. He saw Africa get saved. He saw people come to know Jesus. And when we see what God sees, when we align our vision with God's vision, what's his vision? That none should perish, but that all come to repentance. When we align with him, with good news carriers, messengers, we should be carrying the best. We have the best message in the world to carry to people. And we shouldn't be carrying negativity. We should be carrying positivity. How you look at yourself, at God, at your spouse, at your children, at your future, at your finances, at your health. Look at your witness. It should all be permeated with vision that says God has a plan in this. I need to look at everything in my life with faith because faith trumps fear every single time. Faith creates confidence. Faith gets you going in the morning. Faith generates movement. This is what Caleb did. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. He stood up and said, calm down. You're making a big deal out of this. And this is not a big deal. You're stressed out. And he silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go at once. You ought to circle that term, at once, and take possession of the land right now. You circle those words, right? Because that was the will of God. We can certainly do this. He had eyes of faith. He knew his God. We should go at once, and we should do it right now. I defeat my fears with movement. If you want to roll over fear and put it where it belongs, then do something. Act. That's a very important principle of life. I don't argue fear away. I can't negotiate fear away. I don't wish that my fears can go away. I can't talk them away. You have to move against your fears. You do the thing you fear the most and confront it. So what happens is you open the door of the closet and realize the zombie in there is not as big as you thought it was going to be. And you think, well, that wasn't so bad, right? What was I thinking? Well, you weren't seeing. The fear is always worse than the reality. Well, you know, if we do this, then I could go bankrupt. Well, bankrupt is something to be concerned about. But you know what's worse? The fear of bankruptcy, because the fear of bankruptcy makes you miserable every minute of the day. Fear is always worse than the very thing you're fearful about. We should go. We should move against our fear. We don't discuss it. We don't focus on it. We know our God. We know what he said to us. And whatever pleases God in the building of his kingdom is the will of God, and we should do what the will of God is. So if you don't get anything else I say, listen to this. If you want God's best in your life in 2020, in the next decade, you need to stop listening to your feelings, because your feelings will neutralize what God's promises are. Stop looking in fear. That's a feeling. You need to start living in faith. Stop listening to feelings. Well, that could never happen. Or I could never do that. I can't really believe that God would help us to do. Stop listening to your feelings. Stop looking with eyes of fear that are clouded with astigmatism and cataracts. Start living with faith. I can see clearly now, right? The Bible says you believe God will help you, and he will help you, and then you will see a miracle. You believe, and then you see. People go, well, I've got to see it to believe it. It's just the opposite in the kingdom of God. I've got to believe it to see it. You believe God will help you, then he performs the miracle. Jesus had two friends who were sisters, Mary and Martha. And they had a brother, and their brother was named Lazarus. And Jesus used to like to stop there. It was just a little distance out of the city of Jerusalem. And he would stop there and have meals with them. Sometimes he spent the night there. Lazarus, while Jesus was gone, Lazarus got very sick and he died. Mary and Martha are grieving. Finally, Jesus comes back to the village of Bethany, and he goes to their home. And they say to him, Lord, if you'd have gotten here sooner, you could have healed him. And he says, I'm here on time. I didn't want to heal him. I wanted to raise him from the dead. I let it get worse than you thought it should get, because I wanted to do a bigger miracle here to show you the God that I serve. And that's so true in our lives. He wants to do a bigger miracle in our lives than what we've imagined or what we thought. But we've got to trust him. And to trust him, I've got to know him. I've got to know who he is. Jesus said this to Mary and Martha after their brother had died in John 11. Didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? You'll see it if you'll believe it first. And here's my question. How greatly do you want to see God's best in your life in 2020? How greatly do you want to see what God has for you? How greatly do you want to see his blessing? How greatly do you want to see God bless each area of your life? If you want God's blessing, if you want God to use you, you want to see the glory of God, you've got to stop nursing the worries, feeding them by thinking and dwelling on them day in and day. You've got to make some faith commitments in areas where you thought, I need to make these because through fasting and praying, God's revealing, I've got weakness and fear and unbelief in this area, and I want to strengthen those areas, and I want to overcome them. You're going to need to step out and move against the spirit of fear in faith. And when you do that, the spirit of fear vanishes. And you say to the spirit of fear, get out of here. It's a religious spirit. It's a spirit of unbelief. It's a spirit of confusion, a hindering spirit, a backlash spirit. And we are going to see that God's going to get glory in his church in 2020. And angels of harvest are going to help us bring in souls to the kingdom, and corporate and individual impartation of the Holy Spirit for all of us. Supernatural manifestations of the Lord providing miracles, wonders, and signs, just like Jesus saw. Massive amounts of souls giving their lives to Jesus. That's the plan. That's the will of God. Let me give you quickly some starter steps. I don't have time to develop all of it. I got a few weeks to go yet in the month of January. But first, I need to invite Jesus into every room of my life to see what God wants done. And fasting will help you do that into every room of my life. Your heart's like a home with many rooms in it. You have a family room where you give attention to your family. You have an office where you give attention to some work. You have an area to relax and enjoy some food and fellowship, either in your kitchen or dining area. You have a bedroom where you go to rest. You have a garage where you pile all your stuff, because I've seen them open and I know what they look like. So anyhow, and the people said, You don't build homes with a lot of storage space in them here in California. Every room that is not filled with Jesus is filled with worry. Because when Jesus enters a room, he fills it with peace. In any area of your life where you're worried, in any area of your life where you're upset, in any area of your life where you're anxious and nervous, that's the room you have not given to Jesus. Because when Jesus walks in the room, he fills it with peace. I want him in all the rooms. Amen. Our worries reveal the areas of our lives that are not under God's control. And soon, listen, as soon as we start to worry, that's like the service engine light going off in your car. Worry means there's something not right functionally, spiritually in my life. You worry about finances, not under God's control. You worry about your job, not under God's control. Whenever that room is not filled with Jesus, it's not filled with peace. It's filled with fear and worry and anxiety, and the warning light is flashing. Unless you are born again, Jesus said, you will never see the kingdom of God. You want to see from God's point of view, you need a daily relationship with Jesus. It's got to be daily. There's not a better time to do that than on the first weekend of a brand new year and decade, right? Start it right. Don't make this new year start without Jesus every day. And when you're born physically, God gives you a set of five physical senses: hearing, taste, touch, smell, and sight. And you all were schooled in that when you were younger. And these five senses, you hear things, you see things, you touch them, taste them, smell them. Everything you experience in life, experience through your five physical senses. Spiritually, when you're born again, God gives you a new life. You get a new set of spiritual senses. You get spiritual eyes and ears and taste and touch and smell. Spiritual eyes mean you see things you would never have seen before, because all of a sudden I've got clear vision. It's like when you read the Bible. I've read that 10 times. I've never seen that before, and it jumped off the page and punched me right in the face. It was like, whoa. You saw with spiritual eyes. When you have spiritual ears, you hear people say things you would have missed before, but now you pick up on them. And you know, God's speaking to me. I can step in and take care of that for them. I can help them. God gives you spiritual touch. All of a sudden, your touch might just be a pat on the shoulder, will encourage a person that does just need someone to come alongside them and say, I'm standing with you. It's going to be okay. Spiritual senses that come to us, they give us new vision when we're born again. Second, I need to take my first step of faith in baptism. I need to do that. Everybody needs to do that. Baptism is the way you express your faith in Jesus. And he said, every believer needs to do this, every single one. It's saying, I'm not ashamed to identify myself with Jesus. And it's not to be delayed. Not to be delayed. I'm not talking about being baptized as a baby. Some were dedicated as children or christened or baptized as babies. Jesus was dedicated as a baby. But when he became an adult, he went down to John the Baptist at the River Jordan and said, I want to be baptized. Put me under the water. And he modeled everything and he said, I was dedicated. That was my parents' commitment. This is my commitment. As a 30-year-old adult, I will be baptized. And why is that important? Because, listen, Jesus put it like this. If you're ashamed of me publicly to identify yourself with me, I'll be ashamed of you when I return from in my glory. So when we're baptized, it symbolizes a burial. When we come up out of the water, it symbolizes being resurrected. I have new life in Christ, right? If Christ can bring life back to you, he can revive a dead marriage, a dead career, a dead dream. Remember the little Ethiopian? He's studying Isaiah 53, and Philip, the deacon, comes alongside the chariot, and this man is stumbling around trying to figure, what does this mean? And he explains the gospel. The man gives his life to Jesus, and he says, well, I want to be baptized like right now. There's water right over there. Can you take me over there? And he baptized him right there, and then that's the Nike baptism. Just do it. Just get it done. And third, do whatever God tells me to do. Obedience unlocks the power of God in your life. Joshua with Caleb said, we saw the land ourselves, and it's very good. If we obey, that's the key. If we obey the Lord, what? He will surely give us the land rich with milk and honey. So don't rebel. We have no reason to be afraid of the people who live there. The Lord is on our side, and they won't stand a chance against us. All that stuff you're worried about doesn't stand a chance if you obey God. If you'll do what he says, the Lord is on our side. He'd been preparing the promised land for them for hundreds of years. He does miracle after miracle for them in Egypt. Feeds them every day in the promised land. Waters them every day in the before they get to the promised land. Feeds them every day in the wilderness. Takes care of them. And they come up on the shores of the promised land. We're afraid. We can't see ourselves in there. Okay, so be it. Die in the desert. That whole generation died walking around in circles, waiting for a new generation to arise. And God says, you get to go in. You know the saddest verse I find in the Bible, or one of them? It's in Hebrews 3:19. It's talking about those people. And it says, so we see that they were not able to enter. They didn't get into the promised land. Didn't get what God promised. They missed all the blessings God had planned for them. They missed their destiny. We can't afford to miss our destiny. They were not able to enter because of their unbelief. It's their fear, their worry, their anxiety, their unbelief. I don't want us to miss our destiny this year or for the next decade. Amen? So let's go for it. Amen? Do you see what I see? Let's stand and praise the Lord, everybody. Come on. Let's take a moment and bless it.